Hey everybody, greetings. Welcome back to another rousing episode of Shadow Running on Empty, where we fill your brains with wonderful, delicious lore of the sixth world. I am joined by none other than my intrepid co-host, as usual, Austin. Austin, how are you doing?
Doing fantastic, mon frere. Looking forward to an exciting new year of lore and horrible, horrible things that go awry just at the last minute when you're like, you know, that's not so bad. And then you say one more thing easy, and then it all goes horribly wrong.
I have to say that one more thing every time.
It always creeps in there. And at the last second, I'm like, man, we were so close.
So close. So
maybe next time.
We almost made it. Maybe next time. Well, we are continuing our tour of the Metroplex as we are without our other esteemed co-host. So with that in mind, we're getting low on the rest of the Metroplex. And today we're going to go as far north as we can to the wonderful land known as Everett. They say Everett, ships, planes, and stormy weather.
Fair?
That sadly is not planes, trains, and automobiles.
It is not. It is no, not. No, we get poor weather instead of cars up in Everett. So
yeah. Well, you get poor weather in Seattle, period. So
well, depends on what type of weather you like, but I get what you mean. Look, Easy, some people like to be depressed wearing their flannel all the time, man. I don't know what to tell you, all right? It's a decision.
It's flannel season all season in Seattle, everybody.
Flannel is a lifestyle, Easy. I don't know if you know this or not, but
it's new, it's in, it's flannel.
I remember when I went to go visit my family up in Minnesota once, my cousin was talking to me about it was right at the beginning of like the hipster movement and like the rise of cottagecore, where she was asking me, she's like, do you guys have like the, you know, everybody's wearing flannel with like really big beards and glasses now, usually like cut off jean shorts? And I'm like, oh yeah, hipsters. And she's like, oh, hipsters. And she said, up here we call them lumbersexuals. And that is my favorite term I have ever heard of for that in my entire life. Lumbersexuals.
Wow. That's a lifestyle right there.
Dude, I'm saying, man. I appreciate it, though. It's a good one.
Well, the people of Everett, or what some call Seattle North, are just now beginning to prove false the preconception that theirs is the Backwoods District. Clearly, that's Sahomnish.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that we established last time that that is definitely Sahomnish.
Right? as Everett revitalizes its economy, it is attracting large corporate investors and developers. Where once its economy depended on the naval shipyard and the assembly lines of Federated Boeing, Everett now boasts a diverse and multifaceted community. No longer will Everett be known only for its ships, planes, and stormy weather. Or that's what they would like you to believe. And how wrong they end up being.
Yeah, I was going to say, or how they pitched it to the board.
And then. Well, you also have to take into consideration organized crime, because it's everywhere, remember? Mm-hmm. However, neither the Mafia nor the Yakuza are deeply involved in Everett.
Is it the... Hang on, I'm going to remember what they were called. The Sulpa Rings?
There are two Sulpa Rings that operate on the outskirts of the Everett underworld, both having survived quite well on the crumbs of opportunity that syndicates have left behind.
I feel like you just summarized Sulpa Rings again for a second time right there with this thing.
That just summarizes Sulpa Rings every time.
That's just Sulpa Rings.
Yes. But for the Mafia and Yakuza, like nearly everyone else, they have always considered the district a small-time market with little potential for profit. It probably doesn't help that there's a naval shipyard there.
Yeah, so big government all the time, probably not worth getting involved with when it comes to organized crime.
Definitely taken a second glance.
Now, what you're saying, though, is that it is a prime candidate for the established Amish mafia to move in and expand their territory to
From
also include a naval front base now.
right out of Sahamnish, here they come.
Yeah, they're coal-powered wood boats, longboats.
Coal-powered longboats. The Viking
In
Amish
order to transfer their cheap quilts and rocking chairs, what can
mafia.
I tell you, man?
Yes. Artisan. You mean artisan made.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Reclaimed wood, I believe, is the term.
yes. So, of the mafia and the yakuza, the mafia is in the strongest position in the district of Everett. It controls Everett's illegal gambling and prostitution, most of which is centered in Casino Corner, the district's only red light zone.
I mean,
Gerard,
at least they have one.
at least they do have one. Gerard Vigila, trusted confidant of Don James O'Malley, is head of the Everett Mafia. The Yakuza control the commercial docks as well as some of the district's small businesses. The district's recent economic growth has raised the very real possibility of a syndicate war. Both organizations are mindful of how the Yakuza bought up Tacoma just before it became the hottest district in the rest of the Plex. The sudden increase in Mafia Yakuza clashes over the past few years seems to justify these fears. Most of the violent confrontations have occurred on the southern edge of Casino Corner. In one instance, the Yakuza tried to set up a prostitution ring, only to be expelled by mafia soldiers in a series of gun battles that cost the lives of 15 people and numerous injuries. Curiously, the local media and the district government have kept quiet about the increased violence.
Oh, weird.
The district government is relatively clean. The few corrupt officials are petty embezzlers with no real ambition except to line their own pockets. In recent months, however, there have been reports of mafia and yakuza members approaching government officials. According to sources, no one in the General Assembly or on the mayor's staff has turned. As for gangs that operate in the area, we have two. There are the Red Rovers Go Gang that menaces much of Everett's highway network, and they virtually claim the Pinehurst residential area as their own. And you also have the Razorheads of downtown Old Everett as the biggest thrill gang in the district. Now, I know we usually go into depth about our gangs, and I have them pulled up if you are so interested.
Absolutely. What do you got for me?
So I got you the Red Rovers. The Red Rovers are a go gang based in the Everett area with an orc-centric membership.
Ah, okay.
The gang controls most of the Route I-9, and is heavily involved in smuggling into the Metroplex. They also tend to hijack trucks and sell the stolen goods that they get from their hijackings.
Now, does orc logic in the Sixth World work the same way as orc logic in 40K, where red makes things go faster, and that is why they are called the Red Rovers?
I would love for that to be true, but it doesn't work the same way.
Damn, unfortunate.
Although, yeah, unfortunate. Missed opportunity, really, but still very hilarious. It makes sense since Everett is bordered by the Salish to the north, Sahomnish to the south, and then has access to Puget Sound. So, of course, smuggling is big in Everett. You've got
Right.
border jumpers, you've got ships coming in, so there's plenty of opportunity for smugglers. And so the Red Rovers have ingrained themselves into the smuggling operations and being able to move goods quickly. The other gang of note is the Thrill Gang called the Razorheads. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is the gang for Kaze.
Okay. What do you got for me?
The gang is completely against the use of guns.
Okay.
No guns. They see them as dishonorable. Members will use only bladed weaponry.
Okay.
The gang is open to any race or meta type, and gang members have their heads shaved and tattooed.
Okay.
Most of the gang members are cybered and sport either arm or hand racers. All of them carry at least one type of blade openly, and some carry several. Blades such as katanas, fencing foils, broadswords, daggers, hunting knives, etc. Whenever possible, the gang will perform acts of sabotage against those who sell ranged weaponry and the manufacturers of such weaponry. They will also execute strikes on the gun warehouses owned by the mafia and yakuza. Razorheads make money by rolling military personnel who come into Seattle's nightlife area, working for the syndicates and major gangs as enforcers in their protection rackets, and occasionally moonlighting as assassins.
They are probably the coolest sounding go gang that we've had so
Well, they're not a go gang,
far.
they're a thrill gang. They
Oh.
don't ride around on motorcycles, they just get around however they get around.
Right.
It's just guns are for peasants.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. That's pretty solid.
You must have bladed weaponry.
There's also just something to the concept of like a dude like dragging a broadsword across the ground as he's driving at you on a motorcycle before he uses the momentum to swing it at you. That's just really cool, man.
I'm getting some real heavy Highlander vibes
Dude, I mean, you
right
know, it'd be pretty cool. It'd be pretty sick. Yeah, I'm
Clearly,
down with that. That's a dope one. That's really good.
the Razorheads have a Highlander among them.
Yes, there could be only one, and he's in charge.
That's clearly how it works. I've seen the movie. So, Everett, bounded on the north by the lands of the Salish Sheehy, like I said, on the west by Puget Sound, and on the east and south by the district of Sohomish. Everett is the northernmost district of the Seattle Metroplex. The Sohomish River cuts through the district's northeast section. A series of ridges and hills divides the southeastern sector, while the rest of the land is relatively flat. According to the last city census, more than 220,000 people live in Everett. The largest minority of metahumans are elves, while dwarves make up the smallest. And if you want the full breakdown, it goes elf, then orc, and then the rest.
Yeah, that's wasn't it pretty similar in Sohomish as well?
I think so, yes. I
Yeah.
think it was pretty close to being the same. I want to say it was pretty close.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that checks out. You get up to the northern Metroplex and a lot of elves.
What the
Who'd have thought?
hell? Well, almost a third of the district's population claims Canadian ancestry. There's also a significant percentage of German and Scandinavian descendants. Go figure.
Yeah, right.
Politically, the district mayor is the Honorable Samantha Tillian, a Democrat and an elf. Tillian is a capable and popular administrator. During her first term in office, she sparked the district's economy by luring two major corporations into opening major office complexes in Everett, a feat her predecessors had been unable to carry off. The public was so pleased with her performance that they overwhelmingly elected her to a second term in 2048. She and her entourage are a common sight out walking and talking with the people of the district. She is replaced in 2072 by Mayor Matthew Hilcox. Hilcox rides on the record of former Mayor Samantha Tillian, aiming at bringing businesses back into Everett. Unfortunately for the district, He was bought and paid for by those same business interests who want to ensure that they get the best deals when it comes to disputed properties. Mayor Hilcox's major roadblock is the UCAS federal government, which wants additional land for the naval shipyard and doesn't much care about the mayor's business interests. In 2076, it's more of the same. Mayor Hilcox is still the mayor and keeps fighting against the Navy and keeps losing. But he sees it as the roadblock to Everett's future. The majority of the council, however, loves the government's encouragement and money. And so he is forever fighting an uphill battle that he will probably never, ever win.
No, especially not as a mayor.
Well, that brings us to the current timeline. So currently, Mayor Matthew Hilcox is the one in charge of Everett, trying to bring more megacorp interests into the area to revitalize the economy. Meanwhile, the UCAS government continues to set roadblocks in front of him, claiming land for naval shipyards.
Got to put those boats somewhere. I don't know if you've seen them, Easy. They're pretty big.
They are pretty big.
Need a lot of room, man.
You do. You got to have room to build them and put them out to sea.
Only so much ocean, you know?
Yeah.
Need more land.
So originally Everett's economy was completely dependent on the sprawling Federated Boeing airplane factories and the Everett Naval Shipyards for its revenue. While this gave the district considerable security, all efforts to broaden the district's economy were unsuccessful. I mean, that still holds true until somehow Mayor Tillian worked hard to attract new businesses into the district by offering great deals on land sales and by sponsoring pro-business legislation. She was rewarded with the construction of the Independent Information Network skyscraper in Linwood and the Dadson Vision Entertainments Complex near Mill Creek.
Oh.
However, no other large corporations have put in to do any more building until they can get those sweet deals that they're wanting, having installed Mayor Hilcox. However, he has been unable to deliver, again, thanks to the UCAS government.
Government needs their land.
Government needs their land. So in this great, wonderful, stormy weather district, where are we staying? Well, sadly, it's nowhere as interesting as... what was it? I just want to call it the gunfight at the OK Corral in Sahomnish. But we have the Everett Gala Inn.
Oh,
yes. Average hotel of 4 floors. This family style hotel is clean and affordable. Next door is the Rainforest Mall, a small shopping center whose stores offer a wide variety of legal goods at moderate prices.
I don't trust the way that you said that sentence.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. If you're interested, the assistant manager of the Everett Gala Inn is a big wheeler and dealer in the black market. He can provide all sorts of illegal goodies for the right price. He also has extensive connections with the local underworld. Next option, you have the Everett Triple Tree Inn, a 10-floor hotel. The Triple Tree Inn is a posh hotel with an excellent view of the district, a top-notch restaurant, and even a small gambling room.
Oh, but you got to know a guy.
You probably have to know a guy or pay to know the guy. With those lovely options of where to stay out of the way, let's move on to eating and drinking, because that's what comes next.
What, you mean we don't have a, was it Marriott? Who was the one that showed up?
The Hilton one?
Was it the Hilton? There was one actual chain that I swear we had a run of like 6 locations in a row that they were all listed there, and I was like, oh, they're just everywhere, huh?
I'm pretty sure it was a Hilton.
It was the Hilton? Okay.
Damn. Yeah, pretty
Hilton.
Sure.
Hiltons couldn't make it up north, huh?
Hate to see it. But you do have the Grand Attraction, a large restaurant and bar. The restaurant and bar are not quite as grand as their name, but serve good food and drinks for a fair price.
I mean, a fair-priced meal is pretty grand in and of itself. I'll give him that.
Rumor has it that one of the owners, a Carla Doyle, was once a member of the Bishop's Shadowrunning team.
Have we talked about them before?
No, they're a big name Shadowrunner team.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly, one of the owners is a former member. Supposedly. Then you have Gravity Bar North, a wonderful first-class restaurant with a spectacular view of Puget Sound. The Gravity Bar is definitely a local favorite. Its seafood cuisine and seclusion from the hustle of downtown attract many vacationing celebrities.
Oh. They come for the privacy and they stay for the shitty weather.
Vic the bartender is known for using his magical abilities to levitate drinks.
I just like, I imagine somebody who's like, yeah, I went to federally funded magic school for mage school, who's gonna, you know, be in big with them, but now I levitate cocktails for $18 a pop.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
I don't doubt it's bad. I just the concept of a mage in the sixth world being like, and then I used my abilities to become a world-renowned bartender, and it's like, I guess. Magic seems like insanely OP in the sixth world, but hey man, if you want to be the magic bartender guy, I guess that's...
Hey, be the magic bartender. Why not?
Be the best magic bartender you can be. Not a cornered market. You'll be the ground floor.
You're going to love this next one.
That being said, real quick.
Yes.
As a quick aside, I did have... I realize the hypocrisy of that statement now. I had a magician bartender at mine and my wife's wedding. Mm-hmm. Our bartender that we hired did magic as well. And
oh,
so
okay.
if you tipped him when you got a drink from him, because it was open bar, he would do a magic trick for you as well. And I gotta say, about three Jack and Cokes in, it was amazing having a magician bartender.
Fantastic.
So
highly
you know
recommended.
What? Be the best magician bartender. They're a good bunch.
There you go, Vic. Be the best bartender.
Hell yeah, Vic.
Use your illusions to wow and amaze, and use your levitation magic to float their drinks to them.
And earn 25% for tip.
Well, don't worry if that's too high class for you and you don't want to rub elbows with celebrities. You're always welcome to go to Dirty Ricky's.
Oh no, I don't know that I want to go to Dirty Ricky's.
Dirty Ricky's is located in the basement of a ramshackle building that sells lore books, talismans, and used computers.
I don't like that term. The way you said that, used computers?
Mm-hmm.
Used for what, Easy?
You know, we don't ask at Dirty Ricky's.
You know, at Dirty Ricky's, it's our policy.
You wipe your own hard drive.
Oh. What somebody finds on that computer after it comes through Dirty Ricky's, not a problem.
Well, the owner of Dirty Ricky's is one Harry Flamboyance Brown.
What?
That's his name.
Who's Ricky? What? Wait a minute. Hang on now. I thought you were about to tell me about Dirty Ricky.
No.
Who? Who's Ricky?
Look, that's the name of the place. The
I
owner.
I have so many questions.
The owner is one Harry Flamboyance Brown, who is a former wage mage who appears to have been involved in more than a few scrapes.
Oh my god.
Most people consider him a rather disagreeable character, but his knowledge of mega corporations and wage mages makes him an important source of information. You
but
just have to.
Who's Ricky? I can't.
Look, it's just called Dirty Ricky's, owned and operated by one Harry Flamboyance Brown.
You don't think that the name Flamboyance Browns would be more appealing of a location
no.
to go to than Dirty Ricky's?
Look,
Dude,
when you're in the basement of a ramshackle building that only sells lore books, talismans, and used computers.
Yeah, if you're going to make me go into a basement for something anyway, promise me a little flamboyancy. Promise me a little panache. Don't tell me that I have to enter the dank basement of Dirty Ricky's. Nobody wants to go there. Jesus. You touch a doorknob in there and you get chlamydia, dude. It's
look,
not worth
look,
it.
Look, not only is it a place where you can get lore books, talismans, and used computers, you could also get a dirty martini because it's a bar.
Yeah, I bet you can. You could probably get a lot of things at Dirty Ricky's that you don't necessarily want to get, but you got it just going there.
You sat down on the bar stool, didn't you? You don't sit down on
no,
the bar
you don't
stool.
Sit on the bar stools, man.
Mm-mm, not Dirty Ricky's, no.
No.
Mm-mm. It's not a good look. Well, to kind of wash that taste out of your mouth, how about we go to Ebby's Bar?
Okay, so far so good.
Ebby's Bar is a sly place.
What does that mean?
Bag the Drek exterior and glide on in. Once your eyes tune in to the gloom, you'll see the district's raddest data interfacing and knocking back Ebby's evil brews.
So is it like a net bar? Is it like an internet bar?
There are Deckers here along with Mother Earth magicians, symbol squinters, chipheads, and just about everyone else a walker on the wild side would want to peep.
Huh.
So yander on in, chummer.
I mean, I'd rather go there than Dirty Ricky's.
Oh god. Yeah.
That would actually be kind of cool though, like a Decker oriented bar that would just be like, you would have to imagine that it would have like full wall like screens for they could like jack in and
think of it as not only like you'll have the Deckers there, right? Some Deckers there, but it's also people that you would normally see at Burning Man.
Right. Yeah, no. So it's a culmination of like a hash bar and an internet cafe. They came together to create the ultimate V.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Meme culture alive and well.
So you get your stiff drink and then you get your brownie and then you also get your brownie. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
You
know,
get that other brownie. The one they keep behind the counter.
Well, there's always a good old place. Jason's Bar and Grill.
This feels like a place that stepdads go.
Well, Jason's is a mafia front for an illegal prostitution and gambling den operated on the bar's top four floors.
So definitely a place that stepdads go.
Trying to go upstairs without proper identification or the correct code word is not advised. Code words change daily and are kept in the bar's well-protected computer database.
Conceptually, I find something very amusing about like the thought of going to like a Chili's and just knowing that like it's on like the bottom of like a you know 5-6 story building or 6 floor building, and then just knowing that you're in the Chili's eating and the four floors above you are all just a brothel.
And gambling den. Don't forget gambling den.
And gambling den. Sorry, a brothel and gambling
I
den.
I have to think that if we're
above
building it
Chili's.
Like yeah, if we're building it like this, it's Chili's main floor, right?
Yeah.
Then the next two floors are your gambling, and then the next two floors are your brothel.
Ooh, see, I was thinking buffer floor. So in my mind, I was imagining a 6 floor building. So you've got your Chili's, then you've got like the waiting room floor.
Oh, like coat check and everything.
Yeah. And then you would have 2 floors gambling, 2 floors brothel.
That makes sense. It is a mafia controlled establishment. So yes, yeah.
Also, gambling has to be the top two floors, because then when somebody cheats and gets caught, they have to make the dramatic escape by running to this to the roof and then jumping off onto a helicopter as it passes by.
That's why you would want it to be in the middle floor, so it's hard for them to get away.
Fair. For security purposes, it makes more sense to put it in the middle of the building.
Yes,
For rule of
exactly.
cool purposes, you always give them convenient access to the roof.
It's gonna go one of two ways.
Yeah.
Either a dramatic escape or somebody's getting scraped off the pavement.
Yeah. Exactly. Nobody asks what goes into the jalapeno poppers.
Jalapenos, duh. Everybody knows
Yeah.
that. Yeah. Don't know what you're trying to say there. Let's move on to tourist attractions, huh? The tourist attractions for Everett, we've got the Alderwood Mall, a two-story mall. The place has a really good hardware, etc. store.
Okay. But you already know the most important question I'm going to ask you, Easy.
Yes.
How's it Suncoast Video?
It does not have a Suncoast Video. Come on. It's only two floors.
Whack. This mall, trash. This mall is garbage tier. Get it out of here.
We'll have to move on to the Everett Beacon Mall, a three-floor mall. A few years ago, a bomb destroyed much of this mall. It was completely rebuilt and now has many more shops and much stronger security measures. Here's where your Suncoast Video is going to be.
There we go. That's true. Suncoast is willing to put up the front, the storefront at this one, because they know it's not going to get blown up a second time. That is a statistical improbability.
Many believe that the bomb was aimed specifically at destroying the mall's body tech body shop, no matter how many innocent victims were killed.
I see.
Police were unusually tight-lipped about the investigation and then seemed to lose interest in the investigation real fast.
So it is a body modification shop at the mall, like the Sixth World's equivalent to like a Claire's, you know? It's like, yeah, it's the place you go in the mall. You can get your ears pierced. You can get a cybernetic eye. Maybe you need a new leg, you know,
Yeah,
whatever. They got you covered.
you need a new data jack. Yeah, this is the place to
Yeah.
go. Yeah.
And a scrunchie. It's all in one place.
All in
Okay.
one.
Oh my God. I just, like, what if Claire's was the company that owned the body modification shops? And they just
Oh,
look like a
jeez.
Claire's. It's just, you go in and it's just all white and pink coloring all over everything. Super cheery employee. Hello, what modifications are you looking for today?
Perhaps we could interest you in one of the new models. Ooh, Everett has a city park. Muckaletto City Park. The park is so close to the Puget Sound that it is seldom gets any smog. During the day, the park is filled with people happily enjoying the fresh air. By night, though, the park is a haven for the area's chip heads who come here either to turn on or to panhandle for credit. The large open areas also make the park a favorite place for meets and drops. As long as everything is quiet, the police don't come around too often.
You know, by not having a stronger reinforced police presence, you're just encouraging more crime to happen at this park, is all I'm saying.
Well, at night, who knows what goes down? Then you have your government buildings. You have the Everett District Courthouse, the Everett District Hall. Then there's the Seattle Ferry Terminal. Seedy bars are on either side of the ferry terminal. The Green Fish is a hangout for the area's street Sams, while the Fishbone is where the area's Deckers usually hang out.
Both of them had to go with fish-based names for these bars located right next to each other. Come on, guys. Come on.
They're definitely just on the nose.
All right, if you had to name a nautical themed bar, what would your name be for it?
Name a nautical themed bar. I'm gonna go completely old school and just call it the White Whale.
The White Whale. Okay, that's not bad. I was thinking the Siren Song.
Oh, okay. I see where we're going here.
And if it's a two-story building and the top floor is a brothel, then it's called the Bell End.
Well done.
For our UK
Well
listeners.
done. Well, there is one other government building located in Everett, and that is the Darrington Correctional Facility. Darrington is a maximum security prison.
As in, like, they dare you to commit crime, or
No, as in this is where the worst of the worst get sent.
no, I find, why is it called Darrington?
I don't know. It is the largest and one of the oldest prisons in Seattle Metroplex. It's a rotten place to work and a worse place to live.
Nice.
Yeah. No one wants to be there. I still don't think that it beats the prison that's what often Puget Sound on an island off
Yeah,
of
the
Tacoma.
prison island. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a skyscraper prison.
Yeah, the skyscraper prison. The all concrete skyscraper island prison. Yeah,
It is the worst.
that's definitely still the worst prison.
Definitely the worst. Other locations that we have in Everett, we have Dadson Vision Entertainments. This was one of the places that was brought in by former Mayor Tillian.
Which
Dadson,
was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
she was the first, or she was the mayor that was elected back in 20 in the
Yes.
2040s, and
Yes, I knew for the mayor.
she brought business back to Everett. This was one of the big businesses that she brought.
What does Dadson Entertainment do?
Dadson Vision Entertainment is a major manufacturer of high-class Tridio entertainment systems.
Ah,
It is
okay.
also one of the largest talent agencies in Seattle,
Okay.
with the company's home offices being in Cal Free State.
I imagined that if it was called Dadson Entertainment, that it was going to be like a production studio that just makes things that are geared towards dads. So, like a lot of, World War II documentaries and Ken Burns talking about sports and that kind of thing.
So we have a quote from a former Lone Star officer related to Dadson Vision Entertainments
Oh.
saying, "Dadson is a slick company and I wouldn't trust them for a second. As a rookie, I once had a run-in with one of their quote talent agents who were trying to kidnap a young woman from a downtown club. For guys who supposedly spend all day on the comm lines, they had plenty behind their punches. They left without the girl, but I paid the price. Since then, I've kept my ear out on Dadson Vision and have heard a few rumors about how the company is only a front for the Cal Free State Intelligence Service, which in turn is a puppet organization of the Japanese Intelligence Agency."
Interesting.
So it makes sense why they would want to set up in Everett if there's a UCOS naval shipyard close by.
Sure is conveniently located.
That's all I'm saying.
Ah,
And right there, that opens us up into going into Everett Naval Shipyard.
oh.
How about that? The Everett Naval Shipyard was built in the 1990s as a home port for a carrier battle group. It also became a shipyard capable of repairing and resupplying the largest warships afloat. For a time, the yards were humming with constant activity, and the district boomed on the pay of the thousands of sailors. The changes brought on by the awakening, the rise of the mega corporations as independent military powers, and the decline of the United States Navy eventually changed all of this. At first, it looked as though the shipyard would shut down, but in 2042, the shipyard got a second lease on life when Congress passed the Military Improvements Act. Since then, the Everett Naval Shipyard has been very busy. It is currently the home port for the nuclear carrier battle group based around the super carrier Kuntz. Occasionally, a cutter from the Salish Sheen will come to the shipyards for repairs and refitting, in accordance with the treaty between the Salish Sheen Council Defense Forces and the City of Seattle. Hey Chummer, just a quick aside. If you are enjoying the episode, be sure to rate it if on audio, or if you are on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe as we are trying to reach our 1,000 subs goal. You can also support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/critical_hits. Finally, if you are interested in taking your tabletop gaming to the next level, check out the episode description for an affiliate link to DriveThruRPG. So the next time you're looking to expand your library and want to help support us, drop that link in. And now, back to the show.
There's word on the grapevine, though, that the Tezcatlipoca, as technology's pride and joy, is steaming here from Aztlan. And if that doesn't get you all worried, then how about Mitsuhama's Iznagi is also rumored heading towards this same port. Allegedly, either or both are going to try and force the Yukos base commander's hand by demanding that their ships be allowed to dock within the port. Current Yukos Navy regulations prohibit corporate warships from utilizing federal bases, except in case of emergency.
So we're about to have gang war at the docks, is what you're telling.
Well, not
Corpo
gang,
war, actually. Corpo, yeah. Corp war
corp
at the
war
docks.
at the docks.
I mean, that is more exciting, to be honest.
Yeah, corp war way more exciting than gang war.
Yeah.
So you have two warships that are corporately owned that are steaming their way towards the Everett Naval Shipyard. Don't know how that's going to play out.
And nothing bad will happen.
Well, we don't know what does happen. This was listed back in 2051, but I don't think there is anything recent that's been.
Well, to be fair, it did say that those ships were rumored to be heading to the dockyard.
This is also true.
Maybe they never actually were.
And they were just there to put the Yukos Navy on alert.
I smell a conspiracy by mysterious forces to try to incite corpo wars at the dockyard.
It was clearly the Black Lodge.
It's been a while since the mysterious forces, I feel, have raised their head here, and this feels like the perfect scenario for them to make their grand return. Inciting corpo war, that's just like them. Or is it? Who knows?
Yeah, the checking, there is nothing that is officially noted about this. So it's either a lie or it was swept under the rug.
Or it was so well executed that we've never heard about it ever
That is a possibility. And we can't forget about the other major juggernaut corporation that is located in Everett, and that is Federated Boeing Everett Facility. Federated Boeing's Everett factories have been in operation for nearly 90 years. Throughout that time, they have been constructing most of the company's large passenger aircraft. There are 10 factories currently in operation, five under the roof of the largest building in the world, including the assembly line that makes the mammoth Boeing 828. Surrounding the factories and the runways of Payne Field is housing for approximately 20% of the company's workers. The rent-free housing, uniformly provided with many free services, is designated for workers. Federated Boeing considers too valuable to live away from the facility. The cost of maintaining the housing and security measures are worth it in this area of employee abductions and assassinations between rival mega corporations. Nonetheless, some resident employees complain of feeling like prisoners.
You're not a prisoner. You can go whenever you want, as long as you're no longer working for Boeing and you don't have any immediate family that would miss you if something were to go tragically wrong. You can leave whenever you want to, easy. Prison is a strong word, all right?
Prison is a strong word.
I don't.
Just because there are monitored fences that encompass the entire complex where they're housing these people, and the buses are armored,
Listen, easy. Just because the guards have been told that they can shoot on sight doesn't mean they're gonna. I mean,
As long as it's on corporate land.
yeah, and your ID still scans, then you're
Yeah,
fine.
you're totally fine. There's nothing to worry about.
Don't even worry about it, dude.
Seriously. Gosh. How about the Independent Information Network Building? The IIN is a metahuman-owned worldwide news agency similar to the Associated Press and the United Journalists International.
So they're the Al Jazeera of the Sixth World.
Issues important to metahumans are given priority at this agency.
Nice.
Oh God. There's also Ingersoll and Berkeley Soy Processing.
The soy.
Yep.
Finally, we've reached the home of the soy, the land of the brave, and the home of the soy.
Ingersoll and Berkeley creates much of the soy used in Seattle's foods. The soy is processed in the large white building, while the nearby lagoon is part of an ongoing experiment in raising freshwater crustaceans.
To then be turned into harvested and turned into soy.
Probably our new seafood soy line.
Oh, surf and soy.
Oh
Oh.
Why? Why? Please, please, no. God, there's Thomas Lake Mining and Oil. In 2044, a group of dwarves pooled their money and bought up all of the land around Thomas Lake almost immediately after beginning to dig for irrigation. They made a discovery of major deposits of precious metals, including silver and titanium. Overnight, these became the wealthiest dwarves in the Yukos. The company has been steadily expanding and is now negotiating with the Salish to begin mining in their lands. Who knows how that's going to go?
Probably not well, if history has taught us anything at this point.
Probably not. There's also Bixson Biomedicals. Bixson is a small pharmaceutical company that specializes in producing drugs to ease a patient's physical assimilation of cyberware. The most interesting rumors about Bixson say that the company has developed a drug that may allow implantation of organs not perfectly tissue matched with the patient. Street and Matrix sources say the company has been secretly giving samples of the drug to illegal body shops in Everett in exchange for data on the drug's effectiveness. They do this to get around tough government restrictions against testing experimental drugs on humans.
No red tape in the body shops, you know?
Nope.
Unless they're using it to reattach something that they shouldn't have cut off.
But if you want real medical support, then you're going to be going to any one of the district hospitals. You have Billings Medical Service. Dr. Carl Twillings of Billings Orthopedic Surgery Department operates an illegal body shop somewhere in Old Everett. No one knows the address, but they do know that he shares duties with another individual that was kicked out of medical school for being implicated in a data steal. Then you have good old Everett General Hospital, an excellent hospital, especially noted for its skilled surgical staff. The Everett General is where most tourists and uninsured people are taken for care. Lone Star recently arrested the hospital's chief accountant, who had apparently been embezzling huge amounts and taking out loans at local banks to cover the missing money.
What is it with all this embezzling from hospitals, man?
I don't know. Apparently, it's the place to do it.
We're on a streak right now.
Right? Then you have Everett Naval Hospital. Though this hospital was originally restricted to military personnel, a grant from the UCC and permission from the federal government resulted in its doors opening to the public. So if you want military medical treatment, there you go. And finally, we have Travis Memorial. Travis Memorial has an excellent burn center as well as a world-class cancer treatment facility. Both depend on a highly trained staff of doctors, healer mages, and shamans. At Travis Memorial, patients are assigned both a magician and a doctor. Those two confer with one another and decide what mix of science and magic is best for the patient. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I am all for the re-rise of holistic medicine via actual magic that, you know, can actually heal people.
The healing crystals actually heal.
Yeah, imagine. Mm-hmm. And would probably be what you think that if you had to get like a gunshot wound treated from like a holistic mage street doctor, that they'd charge you like a chicken for it, right? Or something like that. I mean,
I guess it depends on where you go and who you know.
The barter system is alive and well.
In the seedy underbelly, the barter system is alive and well.
Up north, but right? We're also up north, you got to keep in mind.
That's true. You've also got Everett Community College, huh?
Yeah, all right. Wait, is like a hospital? Is it a hospital?
No, these are other important buildings that you can find in the Everett district.
I thought you meant we were at like a community college hospital. I was like, don't go there. Don't go to that one. I don't care how cheap it is.
Everett Community College has been the scene of considerable unrest. Mm. The Pure Human Rights Group, a humanist spinoff, has been agitating to get the college administration to bar all metahumans from the school's fraternity houses. Their demands have been met with silence from the administration and open hostility from most of the student body.
Of course.
Recently, the bodies of two pure human members were found hanging from a tree outside the student center.
Well, that's a little aggressive.
There are no suspects, though word on the street has it that the student, who is the son of a major Renraku official, was responsible.
So were they trying to send a message to the humanist group by doing that?
Or I guess.
Were they trying to make the meta, or was it them trying to make the metas seem more dangerous by being like, oh, they're starting to kill humans now? I'd imagine not, right? Like that mm-hmm. that feels more like a hey, we don't know racism.
Yeah,
and you know what, that's a pretty clear fucking message to be sent.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Your tech store that you might be going to in the Everett district is called Hijex Computers.
Okay.
Hijex Computers is one of the biggest independent Decker stores in the district. It offers a wide selection of decks, hardware, software, and accessories.
But how many of them are used?
Not a lot of them. The owner runs a tight ship and will not deal in illegal hardware or software with anyone they don't know personally.
Oh, that's good.
However, the salespeople will sell illegal items to customers who are willing to cough up a considerable bribe of about 30% more of the item's cost.
It's all about who you know, right?
I guess, or who you can bribe.
Or who's bribable.
But maybe that's not for you. Maybe you don't want to bribe people. You've got Kennedy's Cheap Electronics. This electronics store is a front for a body shop run by Dr. Saito Green. If you want a cyberware implant from him, a former patient of the body shop has to vouch for you first. Word on the street is that Dr. Green is a reliable street doc who occasionally offers cyberware and body parts of excellent quality. How he acquires such high-class items is not known.
It's also not important. I mean, you want it or not?
Yeah, you want this? You want it or not?
Asking a lot of questions for a guy that needs an arm, you know?
That's true. That is very true. Rumors, some people say, is that he has mafia connections, while others say that that is a bunch of hogwash, saying that he gets his wares from a huge body warehouse that he and other street docs own in the northern part of the district. Or maybe he just hires out to shadow runners to acquire some of the new cutting edge tech. Or, you know, there's always the Red Rover's smuggling go gang.
It's true. They move a lot of product.
They do, yes.
Or so I've heard.
So I've been told.
Allegedly.
This is also a first for any of the districts. The mention of a library.
Oh. People in
Linwood.
Everett read? What?
What? Linwood Library. In the basement of the public library is a hidden room that contains almost 1,000 books on hermetic magic. The head librarian and his assistant have been secretly collecting the books since the awakening, and they now have one of the largest private collections in the city.
That is pretty impressive.
They have also been diligently copying the information into their computers for eventual entry into the city's public database.
I mean, you would hope that the library would have a large collection of, the largest collection of a type of book. That is good to know.
You'll also be happy to know that the library is well defended by both physical and magical defenses.
Oh. Does it say what type of magical defenses?
No, it just says magical defenses. I imagine there's barriers, spirits, watcher spirits, and maybe since it's a large hermetic library, I would not be surprised if there aren't a few elementals on call.
Fair.
Right? That's the best way.
Which, what type of, okay. The question, though, is what type of elemental would you want to have watching a library? Because most of them are detrimental to books.
Air.
Yeah, but see, even air, I thought of that, but air could cause aggressive wind that could tear pages out of books.
See, you're thinking of the one direction that air would be useful in creating big gusts and gales. You're
Right.
forgetting that it controls air. You just suck the air out of the room,
Yeah.
people can't breathe and they pass out.
Fair. That is
See?
fair. Yeah, see,
No damage to books required.
but then it's not a big cool tornado monster.
Not everything needs to be a giant tornado monster or rock monster or towering inferno of death.
But they're cooler when they are, you see.
I would say that the one spirit for sure that you wouldn't want is a fire spirit or a fire elemental.
Yeah, fire elemental's just bad across the board. Water elemental's also probably pretty bad across the board.
I would assume earth and air are probably your go-tos.
Oh yeah, Earth would be a solid one. I think that would probably be my go-to. Lock people up in little rock prisons.
Yeah, you could even conjoin them and have the earth bill make sudden like domes to capture everybody in, and then have the air suck all the air out of it.
It's very true. It's a solid combination.
I think so. Winning combination, really.
Yeah.
Well, the last place of interesting oddities that you could find in Everett is the rubber suit. The rubber suit is the largest and most exclusive nightclub in the district. It is also a favorite hangout for younger Yakuza. One night in November of 2049, the club was strafed with automatic gunfire. The Yakuza blamed the mafia for the attack, though there is evidence that a Sulpa ring was actually responsible.
Those damn sulpa rings.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be around if it wasn't for the Yakuza.
It's true.
It's all their fault for creating a whole nother organized crime syndicate.
And
Blame it on them.
if there were more Yakuza around, then the sulpa rings wouldn't be able to operate. It's all the Yakuza's fault either way you look at it, really.
Yeah, all the way around, it's all their fault. Nothing could be done.
So does it say what type of a nightclub the rubber room is? Because with that type of name.
Well, it's one that is frequented by young Yakuza. So I don't know. I don't know where you want to go with that. Yeah.
Open to interpretation, shall we say?
I would leave it open to interpretation. So we did say that the mafia and the Yakuza were kind of trying to make inroads back into Everett, with the express idea of it booming eventually, like Tacoma did because of the docks. So, even with that, more recently, the triads have actually taken over.
Okay, makes sense. Again,
thanks to considerable smuggling activity by land and sea has attracted to their interest.
Yeah, I mean, any type of port city, that's usually where the triad... If kung fu movies from the 80s and 90s have taught me anything, easy, the triad always operates at the docks.
Mm-hmm.
So, this checks out.
You'll also be happy, will be interested to know that the district is home to one of the Seattle's larger scale gang conflicts, the war between the Chosen Ring and the First Nations.
Interesting. All right. I mean, it's got a good name, so I'm already intrigued.
Well, the Chosen Ring is one of the Sulphur Rings, obviously.
Right. Okay.
The First Nations, though, is a gang, I believe, that is made up completely of Native Americans.
Yep, makes sense.
There are also two other major gangs that I forgot to mention, other than the Red Rovers and the Razorheads.
Okay.
You have the Kabuki Ronin, and they are a thrill gang that sports the look of Kabuki Theater.
It's pretty good.
They operate in and around the dockyards of Everett. While many of them are Japanese, the majority are not. They do work for the Yakuza, mainly distributing BTLs.
Those damned beetles.
Ah, yes. Working for the Yakuza and spreading their beetles. Oh, I forgot about these guys. The other major gang in Everett is the Scatterbrains.
They sound pretty exciting, easy.
They're not.
Oh, okay. God.
The Scatterbrains are a thrill gang based in Seattle.
Okay, wait. Can I make a guess as to what their gimmick is?
Sure can.
Are they Beetleheads?
Nope.
Okay.
If you guess what they are, I will be very impressed.
Okay, let me see. It's the Scatterbrains. Are they... Oh, okay. Just, you know, given how the sixth world usually... Are they racist in some way, Easy?
Nope.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. I mean, do they just, like, go around and, like, you know, make people's heads explode because they're the Scatterbrains in some way, shape, or form?
Nope. Nope. Okay. That's not it either.
Mm-mm. All right, what do you got for me?
The Scatterbrains is a gang that was formed by an insane schizophrenic troll named Giggles. Yeah, just wait. At last count, there was at least 60 members of different personality. Oh, I'm sorry. At last count, Giggles had at least 60 different personalities. Most of the gang's members are mentally disturbed. Okay. Therefore, at any time, they may do something unpleasant. Though they are rarely violent, when they do, it's absurdly so. Even their murders. They all dress up as clowns to one degree or another. Members.
Is this the clown gang?
Yes, it's the clown gang. Members are constantly on a scavenger hunt looking for items on Giggles list, which is ever changing and changes on a whim depending on which personality is manifesting present. Scatterbrains are infamous for their large-scale publicity executed practical jokes, which is their specialty. The gang earns good money from counterculture groups and various poly clubs who want them to disrupt an event or conduct a ridiculous public protest.
I see.
They are also paid to be couriers, and the mafia sometimes pays them to act as a diversion when they pull off bank heists. Yes, it is the all-clown gang known as the Scatterbrains.
I kind of love it. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
It's really good. You know, okay, do you know why it's good, though?
Why is it good?
It's well thought out. they're not just clowns just to be clowns. Like, there's actually kind of a dope reasoning behind it.
Uh-huh.
I like the concept of the infinite scavenger hunt. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'll have to share a picture with you of what Giggles the troll actually looks like.
Oh, please do.
There is a picture.
I am very excited. In fact, give me
1 second. Here you go. I'll send you the picture, the link for the picture. There you go.
This is probably my second favorite gang now behind the Razorbacks. So, you know, Everett's got some good stuff going for him is all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is that good?
That's pretty good.
Pretty great.
He's got like the traditional large suit with the collar as well for the clown attire.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He has the Harlequin's ruffle collar.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
If you zoom in on the picture, you'll notice that sitting just above his horns is a pair of glasses that has spring googly eyes on it.
They sure do. They sure do. But then, you know, I told the man, but doctor, I am Giggles.
I mean, if you really want, I have the full in-depth dive for the scatterbrains if you're interested. I mean,
we might as well. All right, what do you got for me?
Might as well just jump them in right now as they've been mentioned and we haven't mentioned them before.
Uh-huh.
So like we said, they specialize in large-scale practical jokes, always pulled in the public eye, dressing the Statue of Liberty in a giant bra and panties, flinging a massive custard pie from a huge jerry-built catapult up to the top floor windows of the Renraku Arcology. That's their kind of thing. The gang had a field day at a UCAS election, turning up at political speech after political speech and heckling speakers, tossing tomatoes, and so on until they get ejected. They rarely resort to violence. When they do, there's always an element of the absurd in it. A small group of them beat the leader of a rival gang to death with plastic baseball bats.
That would take a long time.
Yeah, it probably would.
Yeah.
Despite their general air of wackiness, the scatterbrains aren't harmless. Most, if not all, of their members are mentally disturbed in one way or another, from simple manic depression to schizophrenia. At any time, the twisted logic of the gang's unbalanced brain chemistry may lead to them doing something unpleasant.
Right.
As we said, Giggles is the leader, an overweight troll. He wears bright orange Bozo the Clown hair that sticks up a full foot above the top of his head, from which the tips of his horns can be seen protruding. He likes to paint the horn tips in day glow colors, a different hue for each of his many personalities. Giggles wears the wildest clown suits he can manage to put together in headache-inducing color combinations. He especially likes his floppy clown shoes, which are twice as big as normal clown shoes because he's a troll. Giggles escaped from an asylum 10 years ago. He's classic multiple personality and has been known to switch identities as often as every 5 minutes. There are no known lieutenants for the Scatterbrains gang. The gang rating is equal to superior, depending on Giggles' personality and the clowns around him at any given time. Reportedly, the gang boasts between 50 to 60 members, although a number of those could just be Giggles' different personalities.
I assume that that's who makes up all of the lieutenants and, you know, the other leaders of the Go Gang.
Probably.
How can you be the second in charge when there's at least you have 59 other people in front of you at any given time?
Here is the initiation ritual.
Okay.
Initiation rituals vary depending on which of Giggles' personalities happen to be dominant at any given time. All initiations, however, have an element of the absurd. One of Giggle's personalities, a fast talker named Pierce, insists that new recruits come up with and single-handedly execute a prank public enough and out there enough to rate a spot on the evening trid. Another, an apparently simple-minded soul named Pratfall, has been known to make recruits slip on a banana peel over and over again until they, quote, get it right and make him laugh.
It reminds me of the Clown College episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
Do it again.
At least one apparent initiation ritual involved smacking the head of Mitsuhama's Seattle office in the face with a whipped cream pie at the corporate Christmas party.
The cream pie is not bad. I thought that they were going to make him like hit him with a fish or something.
Nope. Good old pie to the face.
Good old pie face.
All gang members wear at least some components of the classic clown outfit: big shoes, red noses, wacky hair, impossible colors like acid green or bright orange, oversized baggy pants with suspenders, and so on. Whenever they go off to pull one of their trademark practical jokes, the Scatterbrains paint their faces in traditional clown style. The symbol for the Scatterbrains to know that you're on their turf, the gang symbol is a skull with bozo-style hair and a bright red clown nose. All gang members wear it, usually painted or embroidered on an article of clothing, or tattooed on an always visible body part, like a cheek or the back of a hand. Their foes, aside from rival gangs and the occasional random person to whom one of Giggle's personalities takes an unreasonable dislike, the Scatterbrains' main foes are anyone whom they think takes life too seriously. Stuffed shirt corporate executives, dour politicians, and establishment types in general. They also have a running practical joke feud with the Spiders gang, whom they regard as way too fragging serious about this whole kill all the bugs thing.
So you really gotta wanna be in, is what I'm understanding. You
really gotta wanna be in, yes.
Okay, uh-huh.
The oddities that set the Scatterbrains apart from every other gang in Seattle is, of course, the ongoing scavenger hunt, in which all gang members are constantly engaged. They hunt for a fantastic range of bizarre, hard-to-get items on a list maintained by Giggles, who adds to the list whenever the whim strikes him. Required items include things like the left foot of a giant plaster statue used to advertise a popular diner, a monogrammed hand towel from the private office suite of Renraku's top Seattle executive, menus from the 10 most exclusive and expensive restaurants in the sprawl.
Oh.
All the S's from a specific Stuffer Shack sign.
Nice.
To be decided by Giggles. And so on. Individual members standing in the gang depends on how much stuff from the list they currently possess. And because the list can keep changing, the gang status can rapidly change from week to week or even day to day. They also favor clown-themed weaponry, like giant plastic baseball bats, steel-toed clown shoes, gigantic boxing gloves with studs, outsized fists on springs, also studded, giant mallets that make a boing noise when they hit something, and a car-mounted pie launcher that is the gang's pride and joy.
Nice. I always appreciate a good clown-themed murder utensil.
Well, you'll love this last part. The Scatterbrains all travel in a single van, from which they come pouring out like the classic clown car gag in the circus.
Of course, I was gonna be upset if they had more than one vehicle. That's amazing.
There you go.
These guys are very quickly moving their way up to my favorite gang in the sixth world.
There you go. All you gotta do is go to clown college and then be okay working for Giggles.
You sure do.
I feel like that's a nice high note to end the Everett district on.
I love it. It's so good.
Good old scatterbrains.
It's good old scatterbrains, dude.
Yep. Fantastic. So after all of that and our look into Everett, what do you think about the Everett district? It is kind of quiet as opposed to the rest of the areas that we've talked about.
I mean, it is because it's not as big, but in terms of like availability for things to do, it's got a lot going for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it would definitely be a city that would be interesting to set up for like a campaign in, because you've got the government naval connection with the naval shipyards and the Boeing stuff there, so you could go that route with it and work for the government. You have the you could take the plot thread of those boats at the dockyard and set up your own corpo war for control of the dockyard if you wanted to.
Could which do that.
Could also be interesting. And then you've just got all of the other like low gang related influence, but leading you more open to shadow running jobs against corps and the government within the setting itself. So a lot of really cool potential for theme there.
And it don't forget, pretty dope. You've got the biggest hermetic library.
Yes, cannot forget the library. That's very and honestly, I think one of the more interesting locations to run for if you are doing like a primarily spellcaster based party, because you've got that, and you've got, as much as I don't want to talk about Dirty Rickies again, it would be a good base of operations for you to run, you know, magic runners out of as like a meeting place, or, you know, hook up with not Ricky and he could be one of your fence contacts to get you contracts. So,
you know what I was thinking too with the library, and you could run kind of a magic themed campaign with the library as the backdrop and kind of make it like, did you ever watch the show The Librarians?
Yeah.
You could do that.
Yeah. That would be cool. That would be
really cool.
I was also thinking secret base under the library.
Yes, yes.
And possible dragon involvement, if you wanted to get a little spicy with it.
I mean, it is the largest hermetic library that is known so far. So maybe
it'd be pretty cool.
Maybe there could be some dragon-esque things happening there. You know what else there could be? There could be some immortal elf shenanigans as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're still that far north. You also are right set up on the border again for, you know, the Nan located right next to you as well. So if you wanted to incorporate that into part of the campaign or anything as well.
Yeah, maybe they don't like the idea of a large hermetic library being situated so close to them.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you could also, you could set up with if you wanted to run in with the gangs. There are so many gang options in this location that you could use as well.
Yeah.
Not just the clowns, not just the scatterbrains. All of them, there's a lot of really cool stuff there. So
bring in the clowns. Yeah, plenty of smuggling.
Send in the clowns.
Oh god.
That's how he dispatches them, right? When Giggles needs to send them out to go, send in the clown.
You know what? Probably.
At least one of the 60, right? Is probably a lounge singer.
If he doesn't, I feel like they're just doing him a disservice.
We're missing out, man. We're really missing out.
With so many different personalities, Giggles is just a fun character to have in your back pocket to utilize.
Very true. A lot of really cool potential. But yeah, it's dope. That's actually a really cool setting. I'm glad that we went out on a high note location-wise. Because I feel like this would be a really cool... And again, you're located right next to all of the other northern, you know, north side Metroplex stuff anyway. So you have a lot of other branching potential for other locations you could go out into and do stuff with as well. So
that's true. A lot of the Metroplex, I feel like, since we've covered most of it, we've really covered all of the other districts right. at this point. A lot of what happens in Seattle or when you're running in Seattle takes place very centrally located. You're downtown, Redmond, Tacoma, and Bellevue. Redmond Barrons. You're right in there.
Redmond Barrons, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those are your areas. I don't feel like you travel up north very much.
No. And again, a lot of potential for what you could do with that. And I think you could for sure get away with running an entire campaign in the north half and still have a lot of really interesting things to pull from.
Really, the only two districts that are further north than Redmond and downtown in Bellevue is you have Sahomish and Everett being the top two.
Well, I mean, even if in you the want north, to do...
and then the south, you've got Fort Lewis, Puyallup, and Renton.
Oh, I was thinking more of like even if you wanted to expand out of Washington, you have the Nan right there, and you're northernly located. You could go up into Canada. We haven't even talked about what Sixth World Canada. Well, it doesn't exist. It's all Nan territory, right? Because it got
it's all taken back. So. Yeah, all of the Canadian wilderness is given over to the Inuit tribes.
Right. So, yeah, you've just got a lot of really cool potential with these last two that we've covered.
You only have little bits of Canada that join and created the UCOS, and that's mostly around, the Toronto area.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, Quebec finally went off and became its own little place because, of course... It's wanted to for the longest time. The Sixth World just gives it an excuse.
Right, yeah.
For Quebec to go off and be Quebec.
Finally.
Finally, what they've always wanted.
Yeah. California, Texas, and Quebec finally got what they always wanted.
Well, Texas was only out of the cost for a little bit before they were like, oh, we can't do this by ourselves.
Yeah, well, they got the taste of freedom. And now they're content. They're like, we had it.
We had the taste of being all by our lonesome, and then Atslan.
Lone Star? No, Multiple Star.
That is true, and we will get to them eventually. We have the other cost sprawls to talk about. We've got Denver to talk about, and New York sprawl as well. We haven't really touched on the East Coast very much, so
yeah, I assume that still plenty. I assume the East Coast just fell into the ocean at this point. We just don't talk about it.
DC is still alive and strong in the sprawl with the DC sprawl.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get into that as well eventually. There's still plenty of places, and we haven't talked about our other fan favorite, the other very Shadowrun-centric place, which is Germany.
Yes.
That is also on the list. Don't worry, you guys. It is all coming to you. Eventually, we'll get it there. There's still plenty to talk about. We haven't run out of topics yet.
Yeah, but always somewhere else to visit.
Always. We're globetrotting and learning more, and that's what we want to keep doing. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode, and now you have a much more in-depth and deeper look at the Metroplex. I hope that's helpful in creating some of your unique runs in the future or coming up with some unique characters as well. As always, please feel free to come in to join our Discord and share it with us. Let us know. We love hearing about the stuff that you guys create. It's always a fun and good, interesting time. But with that out of the way, Austin, any final thoughts?
Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Stay safe out there. Have a good time. And think about the North next time you want to set up your campaign. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Fun stuff to do. And it is more than time for the rise of the Amish Mafia. So let's get it going.
Let's get it going, everybody. Amish Mafia, bring them back. Have them spread out of the rural area of Sahomish. Get them out there. It's going to be great. So with all of that, you guys, again, thank you for hanging out with us. I hope you have had a good time. I know we are having a good time. But as always, we will catch you guys on the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.